Please be seated. First of all, I have a little bit of a confession to make. It's not that serious, but in my line of work, it kind of is. Every week, our lovely steward sends out the readings for the following week. And normally, I look at them, except I neglected to really look at them this week, so I have actually wrote a sermon on the wrong reading. So it's from Corinthians, so I'm just going to read it to you, okay? It's not long, I promise. And you probably won't remember, but here we go. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, I can't need my glasses. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I know that you won't remember that, but anyhow, there we go. I probably won't even remember that. So, in the 1980s, there was an ad campaign for the Canadian Armed Forces. Okay, you realize that the 1980s is now 41 years away, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And it used the tagline, "There's no life like it." And military, so the pictures of military personnel are seen working on destroyers and submarines with some of the most advanced electronic equipment of the day. And here's the voiceover. There are teams of men, seriously, working to keep Canada strong. So in the 80s, this was about keeping our country strong. Today, interestingly enough, the tagline is, "We're going to train you for your calling." Okay. And this is the voiceover. "We are training you to protect our country and make Canada safe, a safe place. We are the Canadian Armed Forces. That's our job. And you?" Okay, and that was it. In the 80s, it was about keeping our country strong, not safe. And now, what do we have? Safe and strong. The 1980 commercial ends with the announcer advising potential recruits to phone their local recruiting office so they can ask us about you. Ask us about you. In the first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul is writing to believers who were surrounded by a culture where there was no life like it. Corinth was one of the greatest trading and commercial centers of the ancient world. Its location at the tip of Greece made it a perfect harbor city for the north and south traffic, and by choice, most of the east and west trading traffic. Like Vancouver, or Powell River, it was a port city whose population was made up of Roman bourgeoisie, Greek adventurers, Phoenicians, free men, ex-soldiers, merchant, and as one author wrote, devoid of traditions and without well-established citizens. And it was known around the ancient world as a center of debauchery, a place where you could indulge in every vice known to human beings. And towering over the city was the temple of Aphrodite. Who is Aphrodite? Anybody know?
Goddess of love.
And attached to the temple were 1,000 priestesses, sacred prostitutes, who every evening would go down into the street to ply their trade. Here's the thing. It was understood that to be with a prostitute was considered an act of worship. And into this mix, a small group of followers of the way, small group of disciples, were struggling with the same temptations and challenges that we as Christians have today. And the letters they received from Paul, we think there's a third one, were just as vital then as they are now, because they're words of encouragement and inspiration. And for three reasons. Number one, because of who we are. Two, because of what we can hope for. And three, there is no better life. And he begins the letter, and I read it today, by he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He was God's messenger, and he maintained that what he was writing was not his own ideas, but indeed they came from God. And he writes this to the church in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. Sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. Sanctification is the act or process of acquiring sanctity, of being or becoming holy. To sanctify is to literally to be set apart for special use or purpose. And later on, he describes believers as blameless. So what's he saying? We are holy, we are set apart, and we are blameless. How can that be? Does anyone here feel holy and without blame? Not me. Where in the past week yesterday or even today, did you think or say something that was self-seeking or hurtful? Okay, well, not today, because it's early, but. Okay, put up your hand if you've never made any mistakes this week. Or if you've never said anything that was not, shouldn't be said. Not really, Shirley, you? Yeah.
All right, start Sunday morning. Yeah.
Start Sunday morning. Yeah, today's a cow. It starts tomorrow morning. All right. The Corinthian Christians were anything but holy and blameless. I mean, there's a whole thing about food fights they were having. And they, like us, had all kinds of problems. So how is this possible? God must have made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. Because God knows, because the thing is that in the eyes of God, we are holy and blameless. That's who we are. Some of us must be thinking, God doesn't know me very well. Because if he did, he would not see me as holy and blameless. Actually, God does know us very well. Undersees every mistake, hears every word we speak, every thought we think, and perhaps the most uncomfortable part is that God knows every thought we ever had or have. There's no place to hide with God. Knowing all of this, God still sees us as holy and blameless. How? Why? When? Because of the cross. Because of what Christ did for us. And you, Adam. Okay. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came into this world and took upon himself all those words, all those mistakes, all those thoughts we shouldn't have, and gave his life so that we could stand holy and blameless. You're going to come up here, aren't you? Holy and blameless. Jesus chose to give up power, position, and authority so he could know firsthand the frailties, struggles, and temptations of human existence. He chose to walk in humanity's shoes so he could know the inside out of us, establish kinship with us, intercede and keep on interceding for us so he could be like us, the very ones he died to save. And that should leave us breathless. filled with awe. Hearts overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving. Because of this, God can look at you and I, every person, and say, I forgive you. I love you. And you are mine. And I have tattooed you on the palm of my hand. And I am with you always. And this is the first reason why, as a disciple of Christ, there was no life like it. Because of who we are. He goes on, he says, Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace given to you in Christ Jesus, for in every way you've been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. And this is the second reason why there's no life like being a Christian. We are enriched in every way. And he continues in verse 7, and this goes to our reading today. You do not lack any spiritual gifts. Everybody here and out there, I think every human being has spiritual gifts. Nothing has changed from Corinth to now. We have it all. We lack nothing. Not in our speech, our understanding, our knowledge of our spiritual gifts. We have it all. And we don't have to fear that some other church has more than we do. We don't need to focus our attention on what we don't have. Because in the important things, in the realm of spirit, we are rich. We are given, God has given us everything that we will ever need to grow and mature in our faith. And that is really what Christ Church is about. It's about growing in the spirit and deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that the reason we gather as a community, as Christ's disciples? So that we can better serve him with our lives and represent him as persons of integrity, honesty, humility, and truthfulness. We are children of the light. We are not to live in the dark to keep things hidden, but are enriched to be holy and to see the holy, so that those looking and hoping can see the light and themselves be drawn to it. And the last reason why there's no life like the Christian life is that Jesus Christ will be revealed. Look, it's impossible to predict the future, what will happen to our health, our bank accounts, our RSPs, our financial portfolio. But as a Christian, we've been certain of one thing, what will happen to our souls. When we die or when Christ returns and we stand before God and he looks into our hearts, he will know that the promises were true and that we spent a lot of time doubting, worrying, and fretting over nothing. You will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. That is why there is no life like being a Christian, because we are so certain of our future. And I am sure that these initial words were encouraging to those first century Christians. Living in Corinth, surrounded by so many temptations, and being reminded that our life was nothing compared to the life of Christ living in us and them, was a big deal. And we live in a culture that's not dissimilar to Corinth. So many things challenge our beliefs, our faith, rampant consumerism, the endless pandemic. He who has the most toys wins. Cyberbullying, just to name a few. But today, through Scripture, we are reminded that following Christ, having a growing and deepening faith, and being a Christian, we can know that there is no life like it. For we are sure of who we are, what we have, and our future is secure. This is good news. This is God's promise, and this is truth. Let us pray. Holy and ever-living God, by your power we were created, and by your love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.